So, loving Lord, we pray now that you would open our hearts and minds to read and understand your word and to receive your peace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes Jesus says things which are very challenging. Love your enemy. It's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. And today's challenge is right up there with the best of them. Do not worry. Simple, as the meerkats would say. If only it was that simple, right? Because we all worry at times, don't we? It's perfectly natural. And life is full of real challenges and uncertainties. And sometimes the things that we worry about are sensible things to be concerned with. Jesus seems to be saying we shouldn't be worried about where our next meal is coming from, or that we shouldn't be concerned about our physical needs like clothes. But we know that there are people in the world for whom those things are genuinely very real worries and unavoidable concerns. And it was the same in Jesus' day. He was well aware that food, drink, clothing were essential things that people really needed. So maybe he's trying to make a different point. Maybe he's showing how much he really understands our human nature. Because even when we're in a position where we don't have to worry about those things, when we don't have to worry about how we're going to meet our physical needs, have you noticed we still manage to find a way of worrying about them? Sometimes in an even more perverse kind of way. We do find ways of worrying and fretting about what we eat and drink, either worrying about eating or drinking too much, or fretting about whether we're eating the right kind of things according to the latest fad or health expert, or whether what we're eating and drinking is full of microplastics. That's the latest sort of thing to let you have to worry about. Or perhaps we end up having a very disordered relationship with food. And even when we don't need to worry about what we will eat or drink to survive, we find ways of worrying about it. And even when we don't need to worry about our other material needs, like clothes, we find ways of worrying about that too. Worried about what we look like, our appearance. Do we match the latest standards of beauty and attractiveness? What labels and brands are in fashion? Do I have those? Have we got the latest, best, most up-to-date, most efficient car, tech, kitchen appliance? Just when we get one thing sorted out, we think we don't have to worry about that anymore, something else will pop up for us to get worrying again. I think Jesus knew that the real issue wasn't simply food and clothing, but our human inclinations, not just for more things, but for our need for control, maybe even our addiction to worry itself. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't be concerned about where the next meal is coming from, or that we shouldn't be concerned about our finances and health and our families. He's not saying we shouldn't take precautions or make sensible decisions about those things. But he is saying, don't be consumed by worry about them. Because, see, worry is very different from having a sensible concern about something. Worry means you just can't stop thinking about it. Worry can become a bit of a bully. It goes round and round and round inside your head all the time and takes up nearly every waking thought. And you toss and turn at night because you just can't switch it off. Worry is often about us wanting to have some control over something that is, in fact, outside of our control. And so worry thinks if we fret about it enough, somehow we can alter the outcome, when we can't. And when we can't control our worry, it can end up controlling us. So what do we do? How do we get out of the worry trap? Both Jesus and Paul suggest a remedy, an antidote for worry. And for both of them, it means a radical shift of focus. Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom. I think he means if we keep our focus on God and his promises, that will help us see some of these worries from a different perspective. I think he means if we keep our focus on the big God that we have, then some of these worries will shrink back to a more realistic and manageable size. I think he means if we keep our focus on God and trust in him, then we'll have more peace of mind, despite what life throws at us. Paul writes to the Romans about hope, and a very particular kind of hope. This is not a hope that's based on where our lives are now. It's not based on our present circumstances. This is a hope which is fixed on the future. But it's not a kind of wishful thinking, fingers crossed kind of hope, like I had yesterday afternoon hoping that Wales could score 40 points in the second half. Not that kind of hope. This is a hope that is, again, firmly based squarely on our big God and on his promises, that we do have his spirit, that we are his loved children, and we are saved, and those things are coming to their fulfillment and fruition. Jesus is encouraging us to do pretty much the same as what Jesus has said, to shift our forward focus. Worry and hope offer us two very different ways of looking at life now and in the future. Worry is rooted in our desire to control what's coming next. It sort of scans the horizon, second guesses everything, and asks, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And worry pulls this uncertain, imagined future right into our present. And the result is fear. Fear of what might be, fear of what we cannot control or manage. And that can have a corrosive effect on the here and now, on our present, because it erodes and spoils the here and now, drains the joy out of today, because we're so busy trying to secure and control tomorrow. Hope, on the other hand, doesn't deny our present difficulties, but it places them within a much larger story, where the future is not uncertain or fear-filled. Paul reminds us that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. That kind of hope looks ahead not with anxiety, but with confidence in God's promises, because the future is held by God. Hope frees us from fearing it. And because the future is secure, hope transforms how we see the present. Things here and now are not perfect and problem-free, but everything, us and the whole of creation, are moving towards freedom and redemption. Worry tries to control the future. Hope trusts the one who already holds it and who knows us and loves us and knows our needs. So where does that leave us? As followers of Jesus, living in a world that feels increasingly anxious and uncertain, and even at times seems to collude with our tendency towards worry and anxiety, with the constant scrolling. Our response is not to deny the realities of life or to pretend that hardship and uncertainty and pain doesn't exist, but instead we're invited again and again to practice trust, and it does take practice, to hand back to God the things we cannot control, and to resist the temptation to let worry dominate our hearts and minds and bully us into anxiety. Seeking God's kingdom first becomes a daily, sometimes an hourly, practice of reorientating, refocusing. Prayer instead of panic. Trust instead of fear. And we're called to be here for one another, holding hope for each other, holding hope when others perhaps are finding it hard to do that for themselves. And this is a wider calling too. It's also a powerful part of our witness in a worrying world. Because in a worrying world, Christian hope is meant to be seen and lived out, to be visible. When we face difficulty with that quiet confidence in God's faithfulness, when we refuse to be defined by fear of the future, we point beyond ourselves to Him. And our lives begin to ask a question of the world around us. What kind of hope is this? What kind of peace is this that the world cannot give? As Paul reminds us, our hope is grounded in what God has promised and what God will complete. And as we learn, and it does take a while to learn this, doesn't it? As we learn to live less anxiously and more hopefully, we bear witness to a God who knows our needs, holds our future, and invites all people into the freedom of trusting Him. And what an amazing witness that would be for a worried world. Amen.